Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. And order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I hit her up again, and we hung out, and we talked, and then I ended up watching a couple of her movies, and just like
that's so LA,
yeah,
yeah. I just watched a few movies she was in. Like, if you want to know about her, just like watch her movies.
Ooh, it's about to get juicy in here.
Hey guys, welcome back to TK's Juicy Pod. I am here today with a recurring guest, Jake.
What is up, everybody?
Jake Roquet.
That's
right?
Me.
Right? Didn't I say it right?
You did. You did great.
Look at me. Thanks for being on the pod for a second time.
Of course. I'm so happy to be back. I love this.
Guys, we just recorded an epic episode for his podcast. Is it your first one?
That's the first one. That's the first one.
Wild.
I'm dropping.
I can't believe you asked me.
Brand new podcast. I feel like I owed it to you. You brought
me on
your beautiful podcast, and we had such a good time. And I thought that worked. We should do that again.
Yeah, guys, go listen to it. I will have it linked below.
Amazing.
If you haven't seen our episode from earlier, go check it out. But if you don't know who Jake is, he is a musician. He's now a podcaster and podcast host.
Facts.
Facts only. And you're also, what, a personal trainer, a videographer?
Yes.
You have, like, we're literally the same person. Like, we literally have, like, 80 million different things.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
I'm a big believer in, like, if you like something, you should do it. And if people pay you to do something that you like, then you should let them, you know?
If you had to choose one to do the rest of your life, what would you choose? Like, what's in your gut right now?
What, you know, did you what? Straight... It's funny. I feel like...
What'd you go to?
Okay, so we're going to pause the episode really quickly so I can talk about literally one of my favorite things on the planet, Anchor. So if you haven't heard about Anchor before, it's basically the easiest way to make a podcast, period. Let me just explain to you what they have. First of all, it's free, which, like, nothing's free anymore. So I feel like that's already your number one winner. Second of all, there's, like, all these different creation tools on the platform where you can make your own podcast and, like, you can record and edit it right from your phone or your computer, which is, like, crazy because you don't need all this fancy equipment. And like I said, it's free. So you're saving money that way too. And then my personal favorite thing about Anchor, and, like, the main reason why I use it, is because Anchor will literally distribute your podcast for you. So it can be heard on all different platforms that, like, basically any podcast can be distributed. So it can be heard through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many, many more. So all you do is submit your podcast link and they literally distribute it everywhere for you, which is incredible. And overall, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So it's super easy. I can't recommend it enough. I personally use this every week and I just love it so much. I recommend it to everyone of my friends that wants to start a podcast. Even my brother uses it. So it's very user-friendly and I definitely recommend. So be sure to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So don't miss your opportunity to make an awesome podcast and download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now let's get back into the episode. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Mwah.
Maybe music. Okay, so it wouldn't be...
Stumped
I feel
him.
Like the most important part to me is, like, storytelling in a way.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because videography has that, like, making music has that for sure. Podcasting has that, of course. I feel like if there was one thing I could do the rest of my life, it would be communicating. So, it, like, I'd say maybe more in, like, the podcast, like, YouTube world is what
so
I would
podcasting.
Lean toward.
So, podcasting.
Yes.
Ooh, it's about to get juicy in here.
Which is crazy because a lot of people know me as I feel like I've been known as a lot of different things in life, but people know me as kind of, like, more of the music guy.
Who cares?
And
you
I
wear
love
a lot of
making
hats.
Music. Yeah. But maybe what I love doing more than that is connecting with people, like, helping people and, like, having meaningful conversations, doing things that have a deeper meaning, you know, which of course music has that for sure. But I think what I'm maybe why I lean towards it is because I think I'm better at just, like, conversing with people.
So the first thing I want to start off with, which we kind of touched briefly when I was here the last time, was that you have, like, all these quotes all over your bedroom.
Yes.
That you, like, write on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Okay. How did this start? Where do you find them? Go ahead.
It basically, I mean, it's pretty simple. Basically, whenever I hear anything in life that I like, whether it's something a friend tells me, something I hear in a book that I'm reading /listening to, because I usually just listen to my books, lectures on YouTube, like whatever I'm podcasts, you know, whatever I'm consuming at that time. If something stands out to me, I'll just write it on, like, a lined piece of paper. It looks really ugly. I stick a piece of tape on it and throw it up on my wall. Every now and then, maybe every couple of weeks, I'll just, like, turn and look at it and be like, oh, yeah. I'll read through all of them and be like, yeah,
so
those are good things.
Is your room covered with them now?
Sometimes I will cycle some out if I'm like, okay, that's not as meaningful to me now, or, like, whatever it is. Sometimes I've cycled some out so it doesn't get all over the place, right, is essentially, but I've expanded from the area that you saw last time.
Got you. Are there any that stand out to you?
Yeah, you know, there's some recent ones. Let me pull them up. I guess, like, the more recent they are, the more they're on my mind. Okay, so this is one that I just thought of, kind of. I don't know where it came from.
Okay.
But I wrote it a couple different ways. The one I like kind of landed on is what I want to think about recurringly is audit your money or audit your finances, audit your time, and audit your emotions. So first off, audit your finances. I think a lot of times people don't know where their money's going. So they don't think about how they're spending it. So there's no intention around where they're headed with it because they're not thinking about where it's coming from, how much is coming, where it's going, how much is going. And so it's like you kind of, a lot of times people get stuck in a cycle. Like most Americans live paycheck to paycheck. People don't think about where their money's going. And if they did, I think a lot of people would have it a lot easier, essentially, you know?
Okay, so I'm one of those people that like, I don't really know what the frick I'm doing with my money. I pay all my stuff. I'm on top of it, like all that. But as far as like what I want to do with it, where I want to invest it, like I want this year for me to like be so on top of knowing where my money's going and stuff like that. And what are some tips and tricks you have for that?
So generically, I think there's a lot of things people will tell you.
Especially like when you just get out of school, like what the heck am I supposed to be doing?
Yes. I mean, okay, so base level, I would say the best way to be investing your money when you start out is opening up a Roth IRA, which is an individual retirement account. That's just basically like you get to save money, you get to invest it, it's tax-free.
Do you have one?
I do have one. Okay. Yeah, I just started mine 3 months ago now.
Okay.
So it's like pretty new for me, even though I've known that I've known that I should be doing this since I was 18.
Dad's been bothering me about this and I need to do it.
It's a super important one. I try to spend, I have like a monthly budget that I've been working on this past few months.
So okay, give me the details. Like, what does that mean? How'd you make it and how'd you know how to make it?
So I have a base level. I try to set my budget at $1,600.
For what?
Is what I spend.
For
everything.
Okay.
$1,600 a month, right?
Okay.
Which is not very much money. So you go into like my living expense, my rent's 900 plus utilities, goes out to about 1,000, you know, basic.
So like, you basically have $600
to spend on everything, right? So so even right now I'm almost done paying off my student loans. I pay like 100 and like 60 bucks a month because I've like paid down a lot of it already.
Uh-huh.
And then I have, for right now with what I'm doing, I'm paying my minimums again on my student loans. For a while, I was trying to pay them off really quickly. Now I'm going, because you have like your tax write-off incentives for the interest that accumulates if people.
I literally just zoned out because of like how many juicy words you just said there.
So basically, if you're going to have any debt,
okay,
leave student loans last. If you have credit card debt, pay it off right away.
Okay,
a lot of times your credit cards are like 15-25% annually, which is just like
wild.
Oh my gosh.
It hurts.
Yeah, it's so
even
much.
car
loans.
Yeah, car loans.
So for me, even when I was growing up, so like I had to buy my own car when I was younger. I was working like I was making $8 an hour working at Tilly's.
Yeah,
you know, saving up.
Oh my gosh, love it.
I bought a car for I think $1,400. I bought it was a 1990 Toyota Corolla. It was red. It was like this old beat up car.
Uh-huh.
And I bought it in cash and in some sick way. I love when I felt like when somebody like judged me for having a crappy car, I liked it because I felt like it taught me something about their character.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's deep.
And so now my car is like, you wouldn't look at it and think that it's that crappy because I did, you know, eventually I just wanted to have a little bit nicer car.
Yeah.
All I'm trying to say is like, get over what other people think about you because it probably doesn't improve your life that much. Like if someone thinks that your car is cool.
Yeah.
And even if they think your car is lame, it's like, to me, it's like if someone doesn't like me because they don't think my car is tight.
That's weird.
That's not the type of person that I really want to have around too, you know?
That's not it.
So even stuff like that.
I feel like that must have been an easy way for you to weed people out because a lot of people in LA are like that.
Totally. I remember I took this girl on a date when I was young still and like just getting involved in the LA scene. I met her at a church thing and one of my friends was like, oh, my friend thinks you're cute and she's an actress.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that she was an actress, but she was an actress and I just, that's all I knew about her. And so I go and I'm hopping in my car and I'm on my way there and I was like, oh, this girl, I knew her name and I was like, I should just like, I don't want to know anything about her. I feel like I should like learn something, you know?
Yeah.
And for the first thing I typed into Google as I'm like pulling out of my house is her name, net worth. Just because I was kind of curious. I don't know. And I was thinking about like, oh, my car's so crappy. Like, is this going to be a factor? Which usually I don't think about it. But then I was like, oh, LA people, blah, blah, blah. Right. So I go and I looked at it and she was worth like $4 million. And and I'm like, we were both like, whatever, like 18, 19 years old, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh. And then I got all self-conscious for like a minute. And then I was like, yo, if this girl thinks I'm not tight because I don't have a nice car, like she's not the one. You know, she's not the girl that, like, that's not my type. Yeah. You know?
Wait, so how'd the date go?
It went really well. We went on a date. It was great. We went to the coffee commissary. You know,
okay, that's yeah, of course.
It was a good time. We hung out. We talked. It was enjoyable. I hit her up again, and we hung out, and we talked. And then I ended up watching a couple of her movies, and just like...
That's so LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just watched a few movies she was in. Like, if you want to know about her, just like watch her movies.
Yeah, I was just kind of like curious about her art and everything.
Okay, so tell me about... Why do you do the Why do you do the $25 for food?
Oh, it just fit. I think I had like a little bit of money left over for food, and I was like, this is what I got left in my budget, like $25. You know, I have $5 for coffee, for going out getting coffee. So once a month I'll get like coffee with a friend.
Okay.
And then I, like, you know, I buy normal coffee when I'm at the grocery store and stuff. And I spend a lot more at the grocery store, because here's the thing, is like, you can spend $40 at the grocery store and eat for 2 weeks and eat pretty well, you know?
Yeah.
You like buy the right stuff. And I like, you know, I like make juice and like, I like
guys, he literally made, we like go inside to like cool off a little because we're in the studio and we had the AC off. And so he's like, he pulls out some carrots. I'm like, oh, he's going to cut up some carrots. No, he juices all of the, how many carrots?
I don't know, maybe like 30.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
30 carrots and how many apples?
Two apples,
and he puts them in the juicer, and now we're drinking carrot juice.
Hey,
cheers.
That's what it's all about.
It's getting juicy in here.
It is so juicy.
It's so
good. I feel
good.
Like I eat really good food. Yeah. Like I make like, I don't know, like burritos and whatever. I just like make food at home, and I make stuff that's quick, and sometimes I buy frozen stuff at Trader Joe's. And
but
really
do you work from home?
Interesting question. Sometimes I don't.
So when you're on the go, do you always pack a lunch?
Usually I just don't eat till I'm back. Sometimes I'll eat out, but like when I go to work, most of my shifts are anywhere, you know, a lot of times they're like 3 to 5 or so hours. So I just go, I work out with my clients, and then I just eat when I get
home. I feel like that's not a typical, like a 9 to 5, like I bring my lunch.
I used to meal prep when I like wasn't at,
meal prep. I don't really meal prep, but I do always typically bring my lunch, and like normally one or or two times I'll order food, but like I should not.
I think whatever works for your budget too, right? I'm a big,
like, but the thing is, I can afford it,
but it's
like
opportunity cost too,
I should be should be saving, like, instead of buying Jones $22 salad.
You should. If you're buying $22 salad.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing / time expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in fourth place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there, because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing
nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 hard challenge, but one stick of liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
So how can like a normal everyday average Joe, you know, take these things that you've learned and use them practically into their lives? Like, what would you say are the stepping stone? What are small things people can start doing? AKA me.
Yeah. Number one, track your finances.
Okay, so
I use mint.com.
Mint.
It's a super helpful website /app. You can go, you hook up all your bank accounts, all your credit cards. I think that's the most important thing is like, just track it. Just figure out where
start
your money,
tracking
see
it.
Where it's going and see how much you're making, see where it's going. Right. And when people do that, like once they're just aware, things look super different.
How much should people be saving? Like, do you put a certain amount?
A percentage of your income is what,
okay,
is what
so
I would say.
Okay, so how much of a percentage of your income do you do?
So that's,
do you try and do?
Right, maybe like 30% would be a good way to look at it for like your general average person. Some people are a lot more aggressive. Some people can't afford to do 30%, whatever it is. I think step one is an emergency fund. So getting like $1,000 to $2,000 away for like a serious emergency.
Okay. Yeah,
that's step one. The further along you get in career, this is something I don't have, but I think you should have a 3 to 6 month savings beyond that. So whatever your expenses are for 3 to 6 months, you should have that set aside too, especially if you're a freelancer.
Yeah.
If you run your own business.
So true.
If whatever you are, you should be, you have to expect things to go wrong because things go wrong. At the end of last year, I was working for somebody shooting weddings. They like didn't pay out a lot of money that they're supposed to. And it was this big thing followed by I had my car torn apart.
Oh no.
Like out in front of my house, they like cut it up from underneath and took a bunch of parts from it. And it cost me like, it wasn't covered on my insurance because like theft wasn't covered on my insurance. It was theft, you know, that ran me about like $1,800, I think. And then on top of that, I broke my ankle 2 days later and I couldn't work because I was a freelancer only making videos. Right.
Yeah.
So when I was in a point, I was like, yo, things are going good. I'm making like money. Like I've made more money the past couple months than I have in a while.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. That happened. I had some money saved up. When my car broke down, I was like, oh, I got to pay to get this. Or not broke down, but when someone came and cut it apart, I had to go pay a lot of money to
get
it fixed.
That's horrible.
At first they told me it was totaled too. And then I took it to another mechanic. He's like, we could do it for like $1,800. And I was like, oh, okay, let's do it. You know, because I didn't want to go buy a new car. Right. So we did that. And then I broke my ankle and then I couldn't work. So all my money that I had saved up, because things were going pretty good for the most part, I dropped on that. And then I was also expecting to get paid from this other thing. Didn't. And then I have no money. And then I can't work for at least like, so I ended up starting work as a personal trainer 5 weeks after breaking my ankle, walking on my ankle before I should have been too, which I do not recommend. Listen to your doctors when they tell you how to fix yourself. Just like believe them, you know, and just take them at the word, you know? But yeah, so I went there all of a sudden, you know, I have to start working like on a broken ankle and that sort of stuff. And you just have to anticipate like that's life, you know?
Yeah.
Like if something happens to you, like it sucks. But it's just part of how it
prepared.
Works. And like, you know, if you have a car, it's going to break down eventually, you know, and hopefully it's 3 years from now. Hopefully it's 5 years from now. Maybe it's next week. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
Like, could you handle $1,000 car expense right now? If not, save up a grand. The next step would be get out of debt.
Yeah.
Aggressively.
Yeah.
Aggressively get out of debt. A credit card debt first, for sure. Car, I would probably be like, and you know, I'm not a total expert on this. These are just like, you know, off the top of my
head. By the way, where did you learn all of this?
I read The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, followed by, I listened to Rich Dad, Poor Dad a long time ago too.
Uh-huh.
I obviously took a lot of business classes when I was in school. And so some of it had to do with like finances, not much. I think I took one personal finance class, but it was basically like Dave Ramsey spit out at me again, you know? And then Graham Stephan is another great resource as far as, so personal money management, Dave Ramsey is the way to go.
Yeah.
As far as investing goes, Dave Ramsey has obviously really good, really safe options, but I think you can do more if you're willing to put in more time. If you're like, I want to work my normal job and I want to have like a safe way to build wealth. Dave Ramsey's like, no debt ever, no matter what, get out of it. Don't touch it. Don't look at it. Don't think about it. You know, like he's like, if you go to school, maybe, but probably don't, you know, which I think is like, I think you have to have a really, really healthy respect for like debt can suck a lot.
Yeah.
So know that. But people like Graham Stephan are willing to say like, yo, but also I made a lot of money, like in real estate is an okay place, I think, to like leverage debt.
Wow. So that is like something that I need to get right on.
Oh, let me also, this is a legal disclaimer. This information is for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah.
And this is not financial advice.
At all.
Also, too, I know a bit about it, but there are people that know a lot more than me. So I'm giving you like a general recap of what I understand. But Graham Stephan, Dave Ramsey, there's like a much greater resources than me on this, I will say.
It's crazy like how much, I mean, of course, if you're in finance or you take a finance class in college, like you're going to learn about it. But it's like so bizarre to me how even in high school and college, we don't learn about like taxes,
right?
And just like normal everyday things that I'm like now learning once I'm graduated college, like how to operate.
Yeah.
I think it's so weird.
Absolutely. Learning how to do your own. And taxes are really scary to a lot of people, and they're not as complicated as you think.
Yeah.
Hop on TurboTax. Like it walks you through it like real quick, you know? And then, but the biggest part of that too is when you track your finances, audit your finances, is what I say, like month to month, you do that. It's a lot easier to add up those like one month's audits to like a year, you know?
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Gotcha.
Figure it out at the end of the year. Audit your emotions or audit your feelings.
Yeah,
now,
what does
this
that
is
mean?
An interesting one for me because I'm a very, very like logically and analytically driven person.
Yeah, you are. What's your sign?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
When's your birthday?
September 8th, I think.
Virgo,
I think.
I feel like it is Virgo, maybe.
Okay. I'm not super educated on that kind of thing.
Okay. What's your Enneagram?
Oh, my Enneagram is I'm an achiever. I got a 3, 7, 8. So I know, you know, you're a one thing wing this, but my top three that I took were 3, which is achiever, 7, which I think is like explorer or like adventurer or something like that.
It's the enthusiast.
Enthusiast. Yes, yes, yes. And then 8 is like the commander, I think it is.
Oh, I forget the 8. I have a lot of friends that are 8.
It's like a strong.
Yeah, it is.
I remember when I took it, I was like, I don't want to get 8. And I think I didn't want to get it because I recognized some of those tendencies in myself and some of them I don't like, right? So like the leadership ones are positive.
Yeah.
Like 8s lack empathy.
Okay.
It's a big thing. And I think like empathy is like the most important thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know? So like.
Yeah. Do you know what I am? Can you guess?
I would guess a 7.
Okay.
Or a 3. Frick. Oh, but I also am not super educated. So I know there's a peacemaker. I know there's a helper. Can you throw some other the other ones out at me?
It's similar to you. Mine is similar to you.
I would guess you're an achiever if it's some part of it.
So I'm a 3-wing 2.
3-wing 2. So three is achiever, 2's helper, right?
Yeah. Cool. But my top 2 besides the 2 is 7.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's what I would
weird?
Think. Yeah, totally.
That's probably why we always have a good podcast conversation.
That makes sense.
So how do you control your emotions?
It's not as much controlling them. For me, it's a little bit deeper too, because when I grew up, I was like an angry kid sometimes. And there was some stuff in my life that was like not like less than ideal.
Yeah.
And I took it, my answer to it was like being angry and frustrated. And that's why like for me, like playing football growing up was like a big way of like letting out that anger, you know, and like a, you know, maybe a healthier way of the options that I had presented, you know?
Yeah.
And the answer for a while, I would kind of just like put it away, you know, and after doing that enough times, I became, I think, really out of touch with like my emotions and really like analytically and logically driven, which I think has like some massive pros and some massive cons.
Okay.
Right. And so growing up and maturing and learning about the validity that emotions have in relationships, of course, you have to listen to your heart.
Yeah.
And you can't only think. And I think that it's better to make, now this is, I have a bias. I think it's better to make decisions according more to logic
and
reason.
Yeah.
Than how you feel.
Yeah.
But also I think, and so I thought that for so long. I also think that you can't discount your feelings. You can't write them off totally.
Yeah.
And in fact, your feelings will tell you a lot of things that you know, but you might not be processing correctly. I think a super common relationship that probably a lot of people hear this and be like,
ask in relationships, do you think it's better to trust your gut and like your heart or what you think?
Both.
Okay.
And so there's a balance.
Healthy mix.
But
yeah.
Yeah. I think that in relationships, a lot of people, they're in a relationship, they're happy. It's like a good time. They like the person, but they have this gut feeling that it's not going to work out and it's right. And I think you have to like pay attention to that. Like, and you have to, like, if you have...
So do you think someone, if they're in that exact situation, do you think they should just break up with them?
Probably.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think that I think if you like know deep down, I think people are, they go back to what they're comfortable to, yeah, and what, and there's comfort in what's familiar, and that's not all bad.
But I know me, if I was feeling that way, it'd be one thing. If mm-hmm. someone else was feeling that way about me, I would want them to break up with me.
Yes, of course. Of course, of course.
That's like horrifying. Like, I would hate that.
Right, right. So whether it's relationships, whether it's a, you know, it could be a job. If you're like, pay attention to how your work makes you feel.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel awful, understand that. Think about it. That's what like the auditing it means to me. It's like, it's worthwhile. And a lot of times we can feel things and then be like, whatever. And it rolls off our back. We don't think about it. We feel it again. Then we don't think about it. We feel it again. We don't think about it. But it's like, pay attention to the way things make you feel. If something makes you happy, if something makes you sad, if something makes you frustrated, if something makes you whatever, let it be valid. And I think for a long time, like for me with emotions, it was just like shoving it all down. Whenever I feel anything, shove it down, shove it down, shove it down, shove it down. I'm only going to act off of reason. And your emotions tell you things, you know, that maybe are truer than your thoughts.
So how do you audit your emotions?
I feel like it's something that is like a constant process, you know, like trying to learn and get better. I feel like I'm below average at it. And that's why it's important to me,
okay,
you know, because I have to often, and I try to act more quickly on these things instead of letting it build up. So I have to often think, like, for example, last time we talked, I was shooting videos for YouTubers all the time.
Yeah.
It was something that I thought I wanted for a long time. So I was like, and I dug in and I kind of was like making it work, you know?
Yeah.
And I really got into it and I thought, like, this is it. I'm here. It's working. This is good, you know? And I kept on trying to convince myself when I'd be sitting editing a video and I just like hated it for someone that I wasn't really excited about what they were making, but I just needed to do it because it was work. I would tell myself, like, no, I like this. Like, come on, I like this. Come on. Like, yeah. I'm lucky. I get to do creative things for my job, blah, blah, blah. Like, I like this. And I didn't.
Yeah.
And in fact, it made me sick sometimes. Cause like there's a mix of like the pressure for people to, you know, you want them to like what you do.
Yeah.
You want to be able to come back. So you have to do everything really well. And then like, also I was full freelance at the time, which I'm not as much anymore because I kind of have a personal training business, but it's a lot more consistent than one-off videos for people or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right? So there's not this anxiety that comes with this. There's a lot into it. Basically for me, I got to a point where I was like, I don't really like,
you're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't love this. I should only be doing it. I did this because it was supposed to be doing something that I loved and I could be making a lot more money elsewhere, but I picked this because I said, I want to do something I love and make less money, but now I'm making less money and doing something I don't like.
Yeah.
You don't want to be there.
No.
Right? That's like, you either want to make a lot of money doing something you don't like, or you want to be happy doing something you love and make less money, but you don't want to have both of those things.
Yes, exactly.
So like paying attention to when you like feel those things and think, okay, now this is how it makes me feel. What should I do now?
So are you just more self-aware about it for yourself?
Yeah. And I think knowing that like the way you feel is valid, right?
Okay.
It's kind of like a cheesy thing, but like if something's real, and it's also when I learned this more about myself, it changed the way I interact with other people and gave me a ton more empathy because the way other people feel is like real to them. And they've had a set of experiences in their life that's like brought them to the conclusions they've come to. And even if you disagree, you can learn from them, at least appreciate and understand them. You know?
I think that's actually so true because this is like an extreme example, but I woke up one morning and I was feeling great and I went to Phil's Coffee and I got a chai and I was walking back and, you know, everything was good. I was like excited for the day and all of a sudden my stomach, like I started to get like, it felt like I was almost getting anxiety. Like in my head, I was like, Taylor, talk yourself out of this. I don't know what is like giving you anxiety right now, but just like let it go. But my stomach, I was like, oh, like this does not feel good. I literally talked myself out of it. I was like literally like praying. I was like, okay, like I'm so grateful for this. I was like trying to like bring myself back down to earth. I literally get home and I throw up because I ate something. Like I actually my stomach actually felt bad and like I was actually sick. Like I wasn't overthinking it. Like it wasn't anxiety. It wasn't anything. Like I literally ate something bad and I was sick and I threw up.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember the last time I threw up. Like I try and always avoid everything I can, but like sometimes you eat something bad and sometimes you have a bad feeling and sometimes you gotta throw it up.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I feel like we need to listen to like what you're feeling.
Right, right.
You know,
totally.
Like I definitely didn't.
Yeah. And just like remembering, even if you need to write it down to remember, cause a lot of times feelings and emotions are fleeting, you know?
So true.
And just being like, yo, this is valid. I need to like think about this when I make decisions.
Yes.
As in the same way I think about all the facts, all the logic, all the reason, I need to think about how something makes me feel too when I make decisions.
Absolutely. Okay. So I want to quickly go through the rest of your ones just so people can...
Okay.
So people can take them with them. The rescue boat isn't coming. No one is on their way to save you. If you want to see change, you must make the change happen. Did you come up with that?
That's a good one. No, I didn't come up with that. I think a lot of people have said things along the lines of that. So that hit me once because I remember, I think a lot of times people want their life to be different.
Yeah.
And think, I wish I made more money. I wish that I was in better shape. Like, I wish I was healthier. I wish that I ate better. I wish that I, you know, was more intelligent. I wish, you know, whatever it is, like people like want for all these things in life. And they do the same things that have made them not be satisfied, right? Somebody says, I want to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I wish I could make a lot of money. They really, really want it.
Yeah.
But then they do the same things that have caused them to not make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what do you think is going to change? Because for sure, no one's going to come into your life
and be like a
devote
magical
all
fairy.
Their time to make you money.
Yeah.
No one's going to come into your life and devote all their time to make you healthy.
Dang, you know? I love this quote.
So it's like, if you want to do it, think about the things you want. This goes for, it goes for anything. You want to be happy. You want to be healthy. You want to be like, have more money, you know, whatever it is, like think about what it is and think about, okay, what do I need to do to get me there?
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
I love that.
And not just like do the same things that have got you stuck where you're at.
There's also something that's so liberating too about being financially stable on your own as an individual and knowing you're not relying on anyone or being individually so satisfied with what you've done and like you've done it all on your own. There's something so awesome about that and knowing like no one's there to rescue you.
Totally.
It's like the best.
Because you'll be drawn to action when you realize like no one's coming to save you. Like if you want it, you want to fix it, you got to do it. With money too, people will say like, oh, my life's not all about money, blah, blah, which like if your life's all about money, you're doing it wrong, like 100%. And people also say like money doesn't buy you happiness, which I think is also true. Money doesn't buy you happiness, but not having money makes you sad. like for real, like money, like having, there's a point where like having enough money,
that's
the more
so
money
true.
Is not going to make you happier, you know? But I know personally
not
when I don't have
money.
The money for the things that I need, not only does it make me sad, it is like crushing.
Yeah.
Like the stress, not even just sadness, you know, not
it's
the opposite
like
of happiness,
anxiety,
but constant anxiety, constant stress. You can't actually enjoy things that you enjoy too.
That's
because
such
you're
a great
so
point.
Stressed about the things that you should be doing, right? So like I feel like even the last time we talked, I was coming out of that. It was back in January, I think we talked.
Yeah.
So I was coming out of that little session of like having no money, not working.
Yeah.
And it's like, gosh, that was tough and stressful.
Yeah. You're like, you know? I don't want to ever be there again.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll fly through the next ones. Live every day as if the whole world is watching because one day they might be.
That's interesting. That's a good one. So I think I heard live every day as if the whole world is watching.
Okay. Why? What does that mean?
I heard that somewhere. To me, it's like,
I feel like this is really good for like creators, like in our like world, kind of for LA people.
Well, I feel like this
one
specifically.
True.
Yes. Well, so this one is really specific
that's
to LA
so
people.
True.
The first section is true for anyone though.
Yeah.
And that live every day as if everyone in the world was watching you, right? Because I think that's what integrity is.
I agree.
Right, right.
Behind closed doors, would you do the same thing?
Yes. And I think that one, integrity has like the greatest ROI of anything.
Yeah.
Like being a good person and having integrity is like, not only is it the right thing to do, but it's also probably what's best for you
and
too.
Like,
and it's going to what makes you happiest.
Yeah. And having a high level of integrity is like probably the sexiest thing you could possibly have. Do you know what I mean? It's like, for an employee, I want to have someone who has a high level of integrity,
totally.
A boss, a, you know, a mentor, like anyone in your life, having a high level of integrity is like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
like that
I think
is that, it.
I think you'll live the most meaningful life that way too. So if you
agreed.
Think like what, you know, in your day life, even the way you spend your money, the way you do whatever, it's like, if you're not really proud of something you're doing, you'd probably be better off not doing it.
Yeah.
And like, man, that is so true in so many areas of life, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the second part I tagged on, because I think I heard that first part somewhere else. I'm sure somebody said lots of things like that.
Yeah, because one day they might be.
The second part for me was, especially moving into the social media sphere and everything, and like, and this goes for anyone because the internet has changed our world, you know?
Yeah.
Now we think about, like, Donald Trump runs for president, right? Yeah. And we can go, because of TV and because of the type of life he lived, you can go back the past 40 years and pull every, you know,
yes,
pretty much every bad thing he said, like a lot of that sort
exactly.
of stuff too. And he did not grow up in our age.
No.
Like he was, you know, more than the average person because he was on television. He was like, yeah, lived a public life, blah, blah, blah. But like, basically now everyone's on television.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
everything you do is up for the world. And like, it's a lot better. And it's not even like, it's not about like hiding things you wouldn't want people to know. It's just like, if you don't do those things that you wouldn't want people to know about you, like, you will be happier and you will be,
yes,
a better person as
exactly.
a result of it.
And with, again, with technology, it's like things behind closed doors aren't behind closed doors.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Totally. Totally.
We die an early death when we become apathetic to the insane gift that is our life. The best way to show gratitude is squeezing every last drop out of each moment. Wow. So this is one of your favorites too?
Okay, yes. This was, man, I think I, you know what's funny is I saw something that was like, that sparked this from
like
a YouTube comment or an Instagram comment or something. Somebody wrote something along the lines of that, and it like really inspired me. The beginning of that phrase, can you read it, the beginning again? Because there's one thing that they said word for word that I was like, dang, that's good. It was like an anonymous Instagram or YouTube account.
We die an early death when we become apathetic to the insane gift that is our life.
Yeah. So he said something along the lines of that. And gosh, I wish I would have like written down this like random YouTuber Instagram comment to like, yeah, give him credit now. Because I feel like that's really profound. Somebody else may have said it before him. I have,
yeah,
no idea. But I think the fact that you're alive and the fact that like you, especially
you're
you're alive and you're in America, or you're alive and you're in a country where you have a smartphone. If you're listening to this, like, you are lucky.
Yeah.
You are really lucky, you know?
So true. My dad always says, like, the other day, my car wasn't having trouble starting.
Right.
And the battery died. And I had to go, you know, into the mm-hmm. dealership, buy a new battery, whatever. Exactly what we were talking about.
Right.
You know, like, thankfully, I had money to pay for it and whatever. But my dad always says, he's like, you know what? And if I'm complaining about something, and I don't know why it hit so hard for me when he said this one time, he was like, Taylor, if that's the worst thing that's going to happen to you today, then you have a damn good life.
Right.
And I
right.
was like, okay,
yeah.
That hit hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's so true. The little things that may seem like big things in the moment are not that big.
Yeah. There's like a statistic where people are always like, in America, I feel like people are like, oh, the 1%, they're evil, you make money by blah, blah, you know, like
yeah.
people that make money, right? Make a lot of money disproportionate to society. But globally, if you make more than like $24,000 a year, I think it is, you're in the 1%.
Yeah.
So like, careful who you hate on for being in the 1%, right?
True.
And being successful does not equate to like being evil. I feel like this is a common thing people learn in like college nowadays. It's really common for people to learn that like society is full of like oppressors
mm-hmm.
or people being oppressed.
Yeah.
And it's like a sort of like a Marxist
yeah.
type of like communist sort of
yeah.
thing, but it's becoming more and more popular, especially in the millennial generation that's like pushing more towards like socialism.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like a pretty middle of the ground person when it comes uh-huh. to that kind of stuff, but like understanding your life is valuable. Everything you get to do is like a great opportunity. Don't forget that.
Totally.
Because if you become apathetic to it, it says like you die an early death, you know,
yeah.
like you don't get to live a life that you have a really sick opportunity to be living. And another thing, people die. I've had like two friends in the past couple months die, and my uncle passed away a few days ago. And it's just like, every time it happens, it's like, remember that living is like amazing.
It's a complete blessing.
Yeah. When I look at like someone like my uncle lived like the fullest life. Like he mm-hmm. just like did everything you could do. He did everything from like teaching like mountain climbing to like outdoor excursions
yeah.
to like jazzercise classes.
Aww.
He's like professionally, he did like IT and tech.
Wow.
But he just like, he did like everything just cause he was like, he's someone that like inspired me. It was just like, yo, if you want to do something and you love it,
do it.
You can do it. He like made music too, and he like played in all these bands
wow.
and late night shows and like all that kind of stuff, you know. It's just like, man, you know, life's too short to like not do that. And I think that he was 60 when he died
oh.
and I feel like which is so young, obviously, yeah. but like he did so much more than so many people that lived to be 90. You know what yeah. I mean? And it's just
wow,
like,
that's so good.
Yeah. Just like understand how valuable your life is yeah. And respect it and like do things that are meaningful and worthwhile and don't waste your time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Wow. That's hard to follow up on. I want to transition because that was like, we can roll
out of.
Let's transition into that into something more juicy and like easygoing, yes, lighthearted.
I love that. Okay. Now that we'll get all exciting now.
Now that hopefully you got something valuable from all of those things. I asked what I should ask you, basically.
Oh yeah.
And I'm going to ask you some of these questions.
Oh, you got questions. Cool.
What is the most important thing about a girl?
Selflessness. I think that to me, I feel like integrity is like a close second, but one of the biggest things that like puts someone on a radar for me, someone that I'd be interested in, is someone that's like willing to serve people and doesn't like need a lot of recognition for it. Someone that's like, that does good out of the good of their heart, you know?
So what's an example, like an everyday example that you would maybe notice a girl and be like, okay, where she's being selfless?
I think like maybe like the most basic way to put it is if you see her defer to like a friend or to like offer to defer to you or offer to whoever. I think successful relationships work off of like, it's like a mixture of like of selflessness and maturity as mm-hmm. well. Because I think when you see someone that's willing to forego something that they want
yeah.
for someone else.
Yeah.
Right. I remember my mom made a big deal of this when I was young. I remember when she told me first, it like blew my mind. If she'd like cut a pizza, right?
Yeah.
And like the biggest piece, of course, when you're like seven, you know, you see the biggest piece, like, I want that one. Yeah. You know, the guy got like five siblings, you know, food goes fast.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like you see the biggest piece, it's like everybody gets two pieces, like, I'm gonna get the biggest piece. And when I remember one time she stopped me and she's like, leave the biggest one and take a smaller one and leave it for your sister or whoever it was, because it's not all about you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like be willing to forego something you want to gift somebody something else, right?
Wow.
And so like that was like the simplest version of it, right? You see a pizza, you know, you get a smaller one.
I'm like seeing a new quote that could maybe be on your bedroom.
Yeah,
wow.
Something like that.
Like you should write that. It's something
about... Take the smaller piece of pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the smaller slice.
I feel like that's like a...
Take the smaller slice.
Yeah.
That's
like a good life rule. I'm like on board with that.
I love that. I'm going to start saying that. Take the smaller slice, bro. Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah. That's good. Take the smaller slice. Ooh. Thanks, Mom.
That hits hard. Thanks, Jake's mom. Does she have to be Christian?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things that I base my life off of foundationally and, like, morally and those sorts of things that, like, if someone's not a Christian, they're like, well, I just don't see it like that because I don't believe in that. And that's like, well, I can't blame you, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, we just see that differently. And I think that we talked about this before, too, but values are, like, what a relationship is founded on, not liking someone, you know? So you have to have like your values and morals aligned, because a lot of the other stuff, you know, will crumble if you don't have that.
Exactly. I have a few personal questions about like relationship and dating ones too. One would be, where should girls in LA go to find guys?
Church. Yeah. I would say church. Also places, doing an activity that you genuinely enjoy.
Okay.
So say you're not like, you know, a lot of people just are like, oh, church isn't my thing. Like, totally cool.
Yeah.
I would say go to where someone who has similar interests to you might be. So if you like to surf, go surf, or find like a group of people that goes and surfs and surf with them. If you like to make music, go to concerts.
So what about for me?
Things.
Use me as an example. Where should I go? So besides church. I go to church.
I would say for you, I'm not a big... You can meet great people at bars. You know what I mean? Like, you meet great people going out. Like, I have great friends that go out. I go out every now and then. Like, it's an okay way to meet people. I think that more often you're going to meet someone that wants to have sex with you and not someone that, like, wants to be in a relationship with you when you're going out to bars and clubs, especially in LA, right?
Gotcha.
So, like, know that. You know, just like that. That's just how it is, you know, know that if you're like, oh, I want to meet someone that I want to be in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Like that's like a more meaningful long term sort of thing. Maybe like stuff that you like to do, like going to play tennis.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Someone else that like enjoys tennis. So they're probably going to be sporty, kind of competitive, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe a golf course going to.
Okay.
Like, whatever things you just actually enjoy. So a lot of times there's like apps nowadays where you can go and it's like meetup.
Find like a group.
Is an app. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's like, you can go, there's like a group of,
oh my
I looked
God,
at
that's
it.
That's kind of scary.
I saw it once. It's totally scary, but it's just like, I think
that's
you know,
what you have to do.
It. Yeah. I think like if you can find a group of like 14 people that's going to go surf on a Sunday at a certain break, you know, like you go and you say, what's up? Hi. I saw you guys on the app. And it's all other people that want to meet people. Yeah. They wouldn't be on the app if they
That's
weren't
true.
Like, you know, they're probably people just like you, or maybe they're totally different from you.
It's just like, so strange to me, like how it's so hard for all of my friends. Like, and it's like, I have friends in different groups. It's not just like my one core friend group that doesn't know guys. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of girls, cool girls that I know in LA don't know very many guys. And I don't know, like, and also another thing is, it's like, I don't have time to like go golf every all the time.
Yeah. I'd say the other option is like when you see someone that you might be interested in, it can be on social media. I'm like totally on board with this.
Yeah.
You find someone on YouTube that you think you like,
yeah.
or, you know, you see come across their Instagram from a friend, like shoot them a DM. Like I'm totally on board.
So
with
what
like,
should
hey, you
want to
grab coffee? Oh yeah. So it's tough coming from the girl end. If you're trying to ask them on a date, right? That's different.
Yeah. Or what if I'm just trying to get their attention or just trying to yeah. like, I'm like, look, I see their profile. I'm like, okay, I'm into it. Like,
Hey, I came across your account through my friend, blah, blah, blah. You seem really cool. Want to hang out? Want to grab coffee?
Really?
You would
like that if a girl said that to you?
I wouldn't always say yes, but I think I am abnormal in this way. But if someone did that to me, I'd be like, yo, you got balls. Like, that's tough to do. I like, even if I didn't want to, I would respect them for it, you know?
Yeah.
Just like taking the shot. I like love that kind of thing when I have more friends do it, whatever it is, you know? So if someone did it to me, And I like were to assess from like, which is hard to do when you look at their Instagram, like, yeah, they're cute and like, they might be cool.
Yeah.
Looks like we kind of are into the same stuff. I'd be like, yeah, let's grab coffee, you know? But I wouldn't be opposed to the idea. We were just talking, I'd say this on the podcast, your friend Ashley.
Yeah.
Who I like have shot a video for recently or like, okay, I don't know, a few months ago and everything. I was like, dude, she's so cool. The other day I almost just like hit her and was like, yo, we should like hang out. Like in a totally like, I just think you're cool and want to be friends, you know? Like, and I think that,
so
I
how
don't
do
know.
We,
some people say yeah, and some people say
no. Someone needs to like DM me and tell me how, because like there are guys that I'm like, oh my God,
so
I want to be
simple.
Friends. But like, how do I say that one without not thinking that I'm hitting on them or, but
sometimes
like,
you do need to clarify. Sometimes you need to say, which is an awkward thing too.
Maybe even just saying like, like so cash, like, yo, not to be weird, but I think you're dope. Let's go get coffee or something.
I think people will. It just depends on the guy too, because some people might read that and be like, oh, she's into me, and it's just like, what, you know, whatever. Like,
yeah, I think it depends. Oh, this
I
is
think,
hard.
I think it's okay to say like, but totally not in a date way, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, just like especially because if it's that first interaction from afar on like Instagram, I think people will assume that it's like a relationship outreach or a date outreach, right? So I think you kind of have to go, and I'm like, I'm all about just like, yo, whatever you're thinking, just be honest. Like, so I think the best pickup line to someone you've never met before is, hi, I think you're really pretty. Can I have your number? Like if you're trying to get a girl's number, you know what I mean? Like I think that's I think the jokes and the blah, blah, blah. I think the best way to go is like, hey, I was sitting over there and I saw you and I thought you're really pretty. And
have you
I
done
know
that?
You
have you gone
out.
Up to people?
I've done that once before. Oh, and it was sort of a time just to prove like, yo, this is how, like this is the best way to do it. I'm not really one to like drop a pickup line.
That.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, cause I'm like all about, I like to get to know somebody as a friend first before I date them, but that's like another conversation.
Yeah. You talked about that on the last pod, so go listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like just like exactly what you're
thinking. I think I just like the act of like chatting on an app or Instagram is already, I don't know why in my head I think it's such a big deal. I'm like, oh my God, we have to do that. And then we have to decide where we're going. And then it's like, and then we have to, like, I feel like I just think it's so much effort to like, I guess I just need to get over it and just do instead of like think. Mm-hmm. I just need to do.
Right, right. And
I have
just
plenty
be totally
of, like,
cool with like.
Literally, I'm going to show you one of my apps. I'll show you Hinge. Like,
yeah.
I'm so bad.
Yeah,
like,
and
I don't
dating
respond.
Apps is like totally legit way to go too for meeting people. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even like touch on that, but I was gonna say, like, man, I know people that are in legit relationships that like got married and stuff too, that are, they met on Bumble, Hinge,
like
whatever
right
it is.
Now, I have, these are all my turn. I have 66 that I haven't responded to.
Yeah. So it's like
what?
When someone tells me like if you say like, oh gosh, I just can't find a guy to go on a date.
But that's
not,
my
not
own
saying
fault.
That you said this, you know, yeah. Or you,
no, but
you
like I do say stuff like that, and it's like my fault.
Right. And a lot of times too, and there's a balance of it too, right? I think something that people like nobody tells their friends is like, yo, check your standards. Or like check who you're going after. Because like, and this is like a weird thing. So like for some of my buddies, how could I phrase this in a nice way? Like if someone's like at the most basic level, let me explain this to you and see if there's a better way to explain it for the podcast. Someone's like a 4 and they will only date 9s. It's like, be open to a six.
Yeah.
You know, like.
No, I don't
like,
think that's bad. I think I should leave that in.
You think
that's
I should leave good. It in? I don't want to like hurt. You know what I mean? It's just like, be aware of where you're at. Like so for me, like I wouldn't be like, I don't know, whoever my favorite like famous actors are. It's like, none of them want to date me. I'm never going to get, you know, it's like, okay. Like if someone is famous and makes a lot of money and blah, 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 like you might not be what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And like, that's just exactly. How it is. And if someone is like, you know, looking for one kind of person and you're not that, it's like, that's okay. Like, be interested in people who
I think that's
in your world
point.
And interested in you and people you'd be interested in, you know. I've had one friend in particular, I won't say her name, but she might know that I'm talking about her. I think she's someone that's like always, and she's admitted this to me, so I feel like comfortable saying it. She's like always like, I know guys are into me. And then, like, when a guy's into her, she's like, ugh, but, like, not him. It's like, well, like, okay, one, guys are into you. Two, like, I don't know, he's a good dude. Like, maybe he's not, like, you know, as in great of shape as you would want. Or maybe he's not whatever. But, like, I really like him. Like, maybe just go on a date with him. See how it goes. Like, you know, like.
I think a problem with me specifically is that, like, I'll match with people. Like, I'll think they're cute or whatever. And then I think I have them figured out. Like, I think I'm like, oh, he's probably a douche. Or like, I'm like, oh, he probably like has a like horrible work ethic. Or like I literally from their profile will like think in my head like about what I actually think they are, and then I believe it and I just like disregard it.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, ah, he's not good. Isn't that messed up?
Right. And I think too, like being okay with some stuff too, right? Something in, I was recently in a relationship, got out of it. I don't know if that's the words, but I escaped. No, not at all.
I recently escaped from my last relationship.
No. But there were things to where like she would do something or say something or whatever it was. And it's like, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
But you have to level that with, I know for a fact that I say things and I do things that she doesn't like.
Yeah.
I say and do things I don't like.
Yeah.
Right? And so like, you have to be willing to like give grace to the other person too. It's like,
true.
I'm not perfect. So when this person I'm interested in or dating or whatever it is, isn't perfect, it's like, that's okay.
See, that's so, like, I feel like I needed to hear that.
I'm so not like you have to be able to give at least as much grace as you're hoping someone else will give you.
Gosh.
Because I mess stuff up all the time. I say things that I like, I mean to sound one way, but they sound another way. And even if I like were to hear that, I do that sometimes with a benefit of like hearing yourself recorded on audio or video, is you hear yourself say stuff
you're
back,
like,
oh, that's
cringing.
That's not how I meant to say it, but it sounds like this. So sometimes like, you know, someone's like, hey, you said this and made me feel this way. It's like, okay, well, I didn't mean that, but also like I might have done it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I might have said it wrong. I might have done this thing wrong, whatever it is. And it's like, be willing to give another person as much grace as you would hope somebody would give you.
Absolutely. I think that's so good.
Because I guarantee you listening to this, you suck at some stuff and you've done stuff wrong, and that's okay.
No,
but, like,
I think
be okay
you're talking
when someone else
to me.
Does it.
So Jake and I came up with a bunch of poll questions, of course, and we want to go through them.
Amazing.
So what's more important to you, your morning routine or your night routine?
Morning routine.
I agree. And go listen to the pod because he explains his morning routine flawlessly and it's epic.
Mm.
57.
But also I think your night routine like sets up your morning routine. Like I have a successful morning routine without doing like a couple things the night before.
They go hand in hand.
Uh-huh.
57% said morning routine. So it's pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
What do you do more often, underthink or overthink?
You answer first. Am I supposed to answer all these first?
I absolutely overthink.
Yeah. I think that most of the time I overthink.
95% said overthink.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the time I overthink. Sometimes I mean, there definitely have been instances in my life where I've underthought. You know what I mean?
I do have moments here and there where I'm like, I guess it's not an underthinking thing. It's a, I should have been more prepared.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
You know?
I think that's a good way to put it. I definitely will overthink a lot of, especially when it comes to another thing we talked about, when it comes to like creatively.
Yeah.
I overthink. And it's just like, I need to break through that for a while before I start thinking too deep again.
Yes. Do you listen to podcasts more or do you watch YouTube more?
I would say YouTube, but also hand in hand with that, I listen to a lot of podcasts or excerpts from podcasts on YouTube.
See,
listen to like podcast highlights and stuff.
Okay.
So.
See, I probably like the hours that I spend on both, I probably listen to more podcasts because I'm in the car more.
Right.
But every day I'm on YouTube watching.
Mm-hmm. most of my YouTube watching I do passively. I probably listen a lot.
I do it passively too.
Right.
I like do it while I'm getting ready or like, yeah.
Cleaning, working
eating,
out.
Whatever.
Because I'll probably listen to about 2 or 3 hours of like information a day, whether it's audiobooks or podcasts or YouTube videos.
Yeah. Which is wild.
Yeah. Which is insane.
I love that about audio.
Right. You can do, because you can, there's all this lost time that we've made up in the car while you're working out, while you're cleaning, while you're doing whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, you can continue to become more and more educated.
I even think like, oh, I'm not in the mood to like actively listen. And I'm like, who cares? I'm passively listening. Like if I get one thing from this, it's one thing.
Right.
You know?
And it's like, you know, I enjoy my workout more listening to a podcast or audiobook. I enjoy my cleaning more. Like sometimes I'm like stoked to clean.
So true.
I just put something on. I'm like, okay, now I'm going to clean. Now I got my headphones on. You know, like
12% said podcast, 88% said YouTube.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I would expect, I bet they'd probably skew slightly more towards podcasts with a slightly older audience.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess. But also probably too, I think a lot of people probably like me where they listen to podcasts or excerpts of podcasts.
Yeah.
Like Joe Rogan, H3H3.
Yeah.
Whoever. A lot of times I'm listening to it on YouTube.
What's harder, staying consistent or staying motivated?
I think staying consistent, because staying consistent is tangible.
Yeah.
You know? People can be motivated all the time. I think people, you know, are often motivated, but doing something is harder than being motivated. These things kind of go hand in hand to me, because doing something is even harder than feeling motivated.
Yeah.
And doing something over and over and over is even harder than doing something once when you're motivated.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that consistency is
consistency
the hardest
part. For sure. For me, 40% said consistency, 60% said it's harder to stay motivated.
Interesting. That's shocking.
But I also think we're naturally more motivated than people. Would you rather work for yourself or work for someone else?
Oh, yeah, work for myself.
Same. 70% said yourself. I do think everyone should at one point in their life work for someone else, though.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Like whether it's, you know, working at the local McDonald's or, you know what I mean? I do have friends that have never really worked for someone else and they have all this success in the world, but they don't know how to treat their employees.
Mm. They also probably don't know how good they have it, too. I feel like it's like you need to know like what it's like to work for someone
else.
Well,
they're like, what do I do? Like they didn't do this. And like, I'm like,
fire them.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, it's really interesting. I never thought about that until it happened.
Yeah.
So I think it is important to work for someone else.
That is interesting.
70% says yourself, 30% said someone else. Long term, do you want to work for yourself or someone else?
Myself.
Same. 74% said yourself.
Yeah.
Would you rather receive $1,000 for every mile you run or $1,000,000 for every year?
Rewind to that last question. I think it's what's interesting to me is the 30% of people that said they want to work for somebody else. Because at first I was like, we shouldn't even put that in because of course everybody wants to work for themselves.
That's
but
so
then
true.
I think I can also appreciate the value of working for someone else when you have that, like, I know how much I'm going to make. I know what to expect. I know, you know, like,
well,
that
the responsibility isn't on you. People aren't relying on you. Like people's incomes aren't relying on you. There's
and the
a lot
structure
of,
is set up for you. So you have a lot of the structure set up and you just execute on the tasks
it's
that are given to you.
A lot more stress free.
A lot more times, yeah.
Would you rather receive $1,000 for every mile you run or $1,000,000 for every year? I would say I would honestly, I think I would rather, I haven't done the math, but I think I would rather receive $1,000. Now that I'm thinking about it, $1,000,000 a year?
If you ran 10 miles a day for 365 days, that'd be $3.65 million, right?
Yes.
So
honestly, I would run. I would run.
That's to break even. So if you ran 4 miles a day, I would.
I already run
quite a bit.
Yeah, same.
I usually run about a mile every morning. I think I would take the $1,000,000 a year.
Really?
Yeah, coming from your personal trainer or whatever guy. Just because, one, like, I don't know, I break my ankle. Or, like, I'm thinking, like, if I'm not in a position to run 4 miles a day, every day for the rest of my life, you know? Say something happens, like,
okay,
I'd be like,
if,
dang, I should have taken that $1,000,000 a day.
If this was an actual, like, this was, like, life or death, and this was an option, I would probably pick the $1,000,000 a year. But if this was, like, hypothetical, like I would do the 1,000 because I know me and I would know I would do more than $1,000,000.
Okay.
I would run more than 69% like, said $1,000,000.
Okay.
31% said 1,000.
I could see, I mean, there is a point to where that's worth it, you know? So
yeah,
I can see both arguments. I would probably go for the $1,000,000 just to give myself diversity in what I feel like I could do working out.
Would you rather find true love or be rich?
at True Love.
Yeah, come on. Same. Come 89%.
I'll find True Love and then I'll be rich too. And yeah. That's the best.
And that's the thesis. 87% said True Love. Would you rather turn your pet into the pound or press a button and kill a stranger?
Oh, you go first.
I would rather kill a stranger.
Yeah. I would. Now, this is easy for me to say because I don't currently have a pet, but I would turn my pet into the pound for sure. Because one, here's how I think about it too. One, somebody might take him from the pound.
Okay.
You know, that might work.
God, you're so like, you think about it so much.
Two, I think that like objectively, if you were to bring a person to me and like my dog in front of me.
Yeah.
And like said, shoot one, like I would shoot the dog.
Oh,
I feel like you just have to. And it would be so sad, you know? I mean, that's like a graphic way to put it, but I feel like just like a person, like I couldn't do it.
63% said stranger.
Wow. That seems so wrong to me. I get it. I get the reasoning, but like, it feels wrong.
If you just had to press a button, like that's all you had to do.
Yeah, I couldn't. It's just not. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
I literally would not be okay. And also, I will say, admittedly, too, I've never had a dog or cat that was mine.
Oh,
like I live with a dog and cat now, and I love them. I thought I wasn't a cat person.
Yeah,
I love. Like we have two cats. Yeah. And I love them. You know, yeah, they're so cute. One of them is just like, yeah, the best.
Right? Yeah,
jumps on your shoulders, and I'm like, ah, okay. I like cats too. I guess.
Okay, if you get a dog that's yours.
It will, yeah, because I mean, I love dogs.
Yeah.
And I, like, get it. I get, like, it seems wrong to me, but I get someone being like, ah, I'm going to save my dog.
Yeah.
I get it.
Would you rather detect any lie you hear or get away with any lie you tell?
Detect.
Same. That'd be epic.
I wouldn't want, if you could give me the ability objectively to get away with every lie that I
wouldn't
told
wanna
right
get
now,
a,
I wouldn't want it.
I agree.
Because I think, like, I don't want to have that.
Yeah,
ability.
Guilt.
It's not
66%
good.
Said detect.
Yeah.
Would you rather save one person you know well from a certain death or save 1,000 strangers you'll never meet? I'd rather save 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the right. I mean, this is like my reason side of me, but it's just like objectively, like, I think like if you think all human life is equal, which I do, I think like humans are worth equally as much as other humans. I think if you're rich or famous or whatever, your life is about, you know, worth as much as someone that isn't or whatever it is. Like I think or you're born in this country, another country, whatever it is. I think your life is worth the same.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, 58% said one person. Would you rather become famous or powerful?
This is, okay, so this is interesting. This is another, like, deeper interpretation of the question. I feel like I would rather become famous because it'd be more fun. And when you're famous, I think what comes with that is freedom, and you get to, anything you do is, like, you know, successful, I guess. If I'm like, oh, I want to start a successful podcast, it's successful. I get to do something I love immediately. You know, if I want to make music, I put out music. Probably people are going to listen to it and buy it. You get to do it. I think that being powerful is probably better for the world, you know? Like I think that if I had a lot of power, like, I could do more good than if I was famous.
Yeah.
You know? So probably pick, I feel like unselfishly, I feel like the right decision would be to pick powerful.
See, I was like going to pick powerful without even thinking about it, but you just saying the famous thing makes me want to pick famous.
Famous sounds like more fun, right? Because you get to do whatever you love, like pretty much objectively for the rest of your life, and that's great. And maybe what you love is like doing good for other people, you know?
So yeah,
like
that could be wrapped in. But also there's like cons to becoming famous.
Yes, totally. I think power is like...
Yeah, 62% said power.
Yeah, I think, and it's tough too, because I at first I heard power, and I think it sounds like, you know, like bad in a way, you know, like someone's like, oh, I would just want to be super powerful. But like, it can be good or bad. Like,
oh,
if you're
absolutely
a good person, you having power is good. If you're a bad person, you having power is bad.
Okay, last one to wrap us up. Do you pay attention to if your significant other / crush has their red receipts on?
I would say, yeah, I pay attention to it.
So would you notice if, like, let's say you're texting a girl you're interested in for like a week, and then the weekend comes by and then her red receipts are off. What do you notice?
I would probably notice, I would assume, if I noticed it originally.
But
I wouldn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you wouldn't think anything?
I wouldn't think anything of it because I've gone through phases of having my red receipts on, turning them off, back and forth. For a while, I liked to have my red receipts on because it held me accountable to like responding when I opened it, which was good for a while. And then I would just let my texts stack up and I would never even open them. I'd like miss out on important information because I wanted to be able to respond by the time I opened it.
Yeah. So. I think it was like 70% said they would notice. Okay. It depends. If I was texting them for a week, I would maybe notice, but I wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. If I was texting them for like months and we were like talking or maybe dating, I would notice and I would care.
Okay, yeah.
That would bother me if we had plans and it was on, like, his red receipts were on, and then all of a sudden they weren't. I would be like, wait. But I would just, like, think, like, why did he do that? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would think about it. I only bring this up because on, I think it's called Call Her Daddy podcast. Mm-hmm. It's like a Barstool podcast.
I saw that.
It's a wild ride on there.
Yeah.
Basically, they were talking about how it's a great way to mess with a guy.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't think anything of it. I feel like if someone had their red receipts on, they turned off, I'd be like, oh, they just didn't want them on.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wouldn't think like it had anything to do with me at all.
Well, some people are into that. Some people, they aren't. It's just like the kind of person. But I think it is a funny way to like mess with someone if like that's what you're trying to do.
Right.
Or to try to mess with them.
I will admit, I've had people tell me, I think in some areas I'm like deeply socially aware.
Yeah.
And in some areas I'm like deeply socially unaware. So there's stuff where like people will do, especially when it comes to, like, relationship and like the whole like game side of things and stuff. Cause I'm so like, if I think something, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you're
if
not
I
don't the right guy to ask that too.
Yeah, but like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'm trying to drop hints. Like, I've like in relationships where it's like, how did you not know this?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you never told me. It's like, well, I did this.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I just figured you would have told me if that's what you thought, you know?
Got you.
But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sweating. So.
It's so hot in here. So we're in a studio in LA in my backyard.
In the valley.
And we can't run the AC because it's like, and it's like 95
degrees out or
something. For
your guys' purposes.
So
hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Guys, make sure you go and listen to Jake's episode and follow him on Instagram.
My Instagram is Jake Roque Music. Might be Jake Roque soon. I don't know. We're working on some rebranding. Just search Jake Roque on like anywhere, YouTube, Instagram. You'll find me.
Yeah,
it's R-O-Q-U-E.
Follow him, gas him up. Slide into his DMs.
That's pretty much it. We got my podcast with TK, first episode.
Go listen to it. Go rate and review. It'll be awesome. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at TK's Juicy Polls. Vote in the polls, because without the polls, the podcast wouldn't be a thing. So be sure to do that. And rate and review, you know, gas us up in all of the comments.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.